Ah, coffee. Yes.
Good morning, everybody. No spoilers.
Good morning.
Product placement is everything in media these days. And we have a surprisingly big budget here at Idiotic.
Didn't somebody once have a Yoda mug when they were drinking coffee out of? We've had some very interesting mugs on the show.
Maybe.
Mine generically just says coffee.
Well, you know what? As a special guest today, you'll be getting the commemorative Idiotic mug.
Perfect.
These fabulous parting gifts. All right. Good morning, everybody. Hello to everybody who's joining us in the chat. Hope things are well in your world. As noted, it's cold here in Ottawa, which, you know, at winter, duh. Anyway.
And great white noise for nothing.
Yeah, no kidding. And the inverse of that is the inverse of that, of course, is Arizona, where it's like what summer.
No, you don't
want to
know.
Yeah,
no.
And sure. Savannah as well. You know, we're nice and warm down here in Georgia.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't think we've quite mastered the technology of delivery to be able to pull that off, but that would be kind of fun. That would be kind of fun. Cool. Hey, folks, good morning and welcome. Happy Wednesday. Happy Coffee Day. And joining us today, we have the inimitable Robert Gadd from the OnPoint Digital team joining us today. Robert, what we'll do is we'll give you a chance to introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into this biz, because that's always kind of origin stories, because we're all superheroes in this world. tell us a little bit about yourself while Brent, you know, figures out the music.
Sorry.
Well, first of all, thanks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, right? Great to be here with Brent and Chris. I've known both of you probably a dozen years or more, and it's great to hang out here today. So how did I get into all of this? I'm a serial tech entrepreneur, having formed lots of companies over the last, gosh, it's just sad to say, almost 40 years now. And my career has spanned microcomputers to internet working, LANs and WANs, web development, mobile, and you know, now we're all into this, you know, machine learning and analytics, big data and cloud kind of thing. So some of those ventures were two people and some of them grew to be 700 or 800 people or more. So, you know, it's been successes and failures as any entrepreneur has. So this is my seventh of those companies, founded in 2002, you know, with the mission to democratize learning for the masses. I had purchased a couple of early LMSs for one of my tech startups and training our employees, but mostly training customers around the world. And so I got interested in what it was. And, you know, at the time, my big customer and investor was Cisco Systems. And they were, you know, one of the early leaders or, you know, sort of the market makers in terms of thought process and in the world of e-learning. And I remember John Chambers saying, you know, this e-learning thing is going to be huge. And, you know, it's going to make email look like a rounding error is what he said. And I said, wow, that sounds like as an entrepreneur, a cool place that I should be. So when that web kind of company hit the skids, that when the dot-com thing blew up, you know, we started this to build a low-cost LMS platform, and we discovered 200 people had that same idea, 200 other companies and vendors had that same idea, so we had to start focusing on something interesting and differentiated, so rapid authoring and integration, and especially mobile. So, you know, from the very beginning, we've had this mobile-centric determination on what we do and how, and I brought some props along today, you know, just when we started off at mobile, these were the devices that you had, you know, this and the, believe it or not, a Sharp Wizard and a Palm 7 with Wi-Fi or whatever. But, you know, we kind of thought, wouldn't it be cool if you were up on a pole trying to figure out, you know, is it the blue wire or the red wire, and you could reach into your pocket and figure out, how to solve a problem for yourself. So, you know, we've seen this progression of I'll go for more props here. You know, just the introduction of the iPhone and, you know, remember the whole BlackBerry craze? Remember this Pearl thing where you had to learn to type in a weird way? And, you know, now into Android devices. And, you know, we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to do interesting things on those devices that have spanned message-based communications to voice interactive, voice response kind of things on the devices into, you know, the advent of the smartphone and the tablet, you know, has just really opened up lots of interesting doors. And, you know, for us, it's not about delivering, exclusively about delivering content to the device. It's like, what other affordances will this device help me do? So it's been pretty cool to be part of all of that. And it just changes all the time. And it keeps me, allows me to keep buying, you know, toys, right? You know, in that sense, you know, but you mix in social and game mechanics and custom UX. And, but, you know, for our customers, it's all about enterprise levels of security and control. So it's kind of an interesting balance of things that we have to go after.
Very cool.
Is that a long enough origin story?
There we go. That's a heck of an origin story. And I will throw in, was it last year or the year before that that the eLearning Guild honored you as an eLearning Guild Master?
Yes.
For the thing that you've helped contribute to our space overall.
So. Right. And I'm the guy that doesn't fit with everybody else that's wanted in the past. I see Joe Danchi on here. You know, I get on these panels with people and, you know, they know everything and they've written lots of books about it. And, you know, I'm just sort of the feeds and speeds and features kind of guy, you know, but, you know, apply that to solving problems, but it's an honor to be in the midst of all those other recipients.
Very cool. Very cool. So part of what we've seen with the mobile devices in our space was the sort of looking at things, we usually called it mobile learning. And then, of course, now we kind of probably think about it as just e-learning in general from that kind of a perspective. But along with that was the creation of the XAPI standard to give us better ways to track things that maybe SCORM does and doesn't do. And that's pretty much the reason why we wanted to talk about here today was the sort of the different affordances that those two different data models, I guess, really, can give us. I think a lot of people still kind of are trying to sort out XAPI, even though we've had it around for a while. I know here at Domino, we're pretty big fans of it because it can do so much for our client teams, way beyond, you know, the typical thing that we picture for SCORM. But there are still lots of folks who even just struggle with, well, why is it different? What does it do? It's just the next SCORM. That kind of I hear that a lot. Oh, I don't think it'll ever replace SCORM. Okay.
I wish it would. But, you know, that's kind of the reality that we live in today. We've been, there was a learning solution, eLearning Guild's Learning Solutions Conference, I think about, it was probably 5 years ago almost now. And I went and, it was some Mike Rustici and Tim Martin and Aaron Silver, you know, we're all, you know, sort of talking about this Project Tin Can thing and where all this might be going, giving us a way to move past a specification. SCORM is not a standard, it's a specification, right? You know, and it's bereft with lots of limitations. And the latest version of it is 2004, and, you know, nothing changes, you know, in technology, everything changes in technology. Nothing's going to be very good for more than a year or two. So it's a specification whose time had come. So, you know, we were looking for any way to help, you know, address that. But, you know, as XAPI came into place, and I remember looking at the original specification when it was first, you know, sort of the 1.0 version came out, and it's 70 pages long. I mean, you literally could read it in a Saturday afternoon kind of thing and kind of get a sense for what's going on, and a very easy and interesting structure, you know, this actor, verb, and action kind of thing that could be applied. And then you quickly start to think of, you know, how else can I apply this? How else can I put this to use? And, you know, because everything now in the world of big data and the cloud has to be tracked and, you know, and analyzed and mined for insights. So, you know, we think it's, super powerful. And it's sadly an or, you know, and not an and, you know, I wish tools would do a better job of allowing you know, allowing practitioners to do both at the same time. When you publish, publish not to SCORM or XAPI, but publish for both at the same time. Put them in the same package. That way you could take a course and toss it into an LMS that doesn't support something, but you know, all of these cool statements and things might get added into it, or this, you know, statement triggers could be put into things, and then you could be collecting data over here and collecting data over there. You know, hey, you vendors, make that happen. You know, make those things, publish both is the is what
I
you
was
going to
say. Wait, I
humble brag. Do that. Domino does that. We
Sweet.
Do.
Yep.
Yep.
And, you know, and you know, just the, you guys have been way out in front, you know, in this, you know, you've been in all these meetings and all these committees and dealing with the profiles and everything else. And we greatly appreciate it. It's that leadership. You know, there's a lot of other people that you compete with who, you know, just haven't stepped up yet. And it hasn't helped that the, you know, the four horsemen of the LMS apocalypse haven't necessarily put it into their, you know, their platforms. Well, sorry about that. But, you know, just they pay lip service to it in much the same way, by the way, for all these years, they've paid lip service to mobile. You know, mobile's just, you know, maybe we'll just have a responsive, you know, responsive interface or something like that, because who really needs all of the things that that an app would do, and especially on every device. So, you know, the customer is always hamstrung by the things that their vendor is going to allow them to try to do. And if they're not thinking progressive, and maybe it's, you know, the chicken and the egg problem, you know, people have to be pounding the table saying, this is important. I want it. Can you please get it to me? Or I'll go to somebody that will give it to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk through, I guess, maybe some places where you're seeing people, starting to use XAPI for purposes that maybe are hopefully different than the SCORM typical purposes. I mean, the typical SCORM purpose is for launching a course in an LMS that you've registered someone in and then tracking their completion, their test score. Right. Sometimes that can include reporting on things like, you know, details like item level analysis and test questions, what people have selected, but not every LMS even, you know, has a reporting option necessarily right. around some of that level of data. But I mean, SCORM is all about formal learning. People launch it, they track it, you've completed it, check in the box and a score. Let's start talking about places then where XAPI can take us in different places that can help organizations.
Yeah. So, so first of all, for us, from a perspective, you know, mobile is, about the bigger blend, right? We see mobile getting applied to the blend in lots of cool and interesting ways today. And, the blend is all about the things that you do beforehand and during in situ and afterwards. And since more people are on the go more of the time and everybody has a, you know, a smart device or multiple smart devices in some ways, you know, they are interacting with it all the time. So let's make sure that all of the things that they're doing are something that we can, you know, we can manage and track. And one of the coolest use cases we've seen in mobile recently is handing out tablets in the classroom, not your tablet that you brought with you, but because I don't want you doing Facebook or other things while you're in here. Like, here's the tablet that you're going to use in, and we're going to eliminate the three-ring binder, and all of the pre-work that you've done before you get to class shows up on that device, and the teacher can see that, and they can manage all of those things. We can, every time we present a module or something like that, you know, they can have a copy of it there and they can annotate it on the device itself. They can interact with polls. They can have discussions with other people, even in the physical room that they're in. They can, you know, we have collaborative features that have essentially, you know, digital whiteboards that people can participate in. And all this is happening in the classroom. Take all your tests at the end of the module, at the end of the day. And then when you leave, all of that information comes off the tablet, gets synced back up into the cloud where it's shared back to you through your browser or through your mobile device that, you know, is your personal device rather than your issued device. But everything in there is something that people want to know. Are they doing it? Are they coming back to it? You know, are they participating in some way? Are they reading the article? You know, the problem with with XAPI in some ways.
So all of that stuff in that example, is there, it's all tracked and with XAPI?
Everything. Yeah, everything tracked with XAPI.
It gets tracked and all of that stuff. So they really do get, I mean, the IDs and the training folks get all of that rich, nice data from that complete experience.
Right, right. And it's because the app itself, you know, Andy McGuire, you guys had Andy McGuire on, you know, recently, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about a site that they set up that people would go to. They didn't know, they don't want them to log in, so they don't know who the actor is. So they're anonymizing who that person is. But the reality is this app knows the actor. It knows the action. It knows the verb. It knows all of those things inherently because they're served up through the app itself. So, you know, everything is possible and everything is trackable. But we go beyond that into the behaviors themselves. The interfaces are written in such a way that we know what buttons you're clicking on, which buttons are clicked on most often, everything that you're searching on. And XAPI just was this, you know, this magical Swiss Army knife that allowed us to do all kinds of cool and interesting things and apply it any way that it needed to happen. And for us, you know, in the world of native applications, installed on devices rather than just browser-based approaches, you want to be able to track all that stuff when you're offline, when you don't have a signal. So, you know, basically we can generate statements for things and capture them and queue them up. And then next time you get online, then all of that stuff syncs automatically up to the server. And then, you know, we have all that information sitting in an LRS that can be mined later.
Mm-hmm. And the offline piece is something that I think a lot of people haven't caught on to yet. The fact that, SCORM requires an LMS and communication with an LMS, and therefore you have to be constantly online while consuming that SCORM package in order for the info to typically anyway.
I mean, the clever vendors figured that out years ago. You know, I mean, there are ways to do that while you're offline, but it's a trick. It's a workaround, but it still only works for content, right? It's just as important to know how many people are interacting in the forum, you know, in the cohort, continuing to interact with that part of the blend, you know, and then be able to see all of that and track all of those things as part of, the insight mix later. The great tools to do that today, you know, I know the Udomino folks have a relationship with all the LRS vendors per se, but, a couple of them are really doing some amazingly advanced things. They're providing these visuals and insights that snap on top of the data sets and just make it easy for somebody to understand what's the value of all the things that we're collecting.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of the biggest sort of things that we see. I'm not sure I want to say missing, but it seems to be such a gap at times that the ability for people to then visualize the data and make use of it. There's certainly there's a spectrum of how different LRS tools are able to deal with that currently.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's and by the way, we have tiny customers that have measured in hundreds to 1,000 users kind of populations versus the enormous ones, and even the tiny ones are generating tens of thousands of statements a day. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Isn't that somebody asked in the ask a question section, like what are some of the complexities? And that's what I was going to throw out, was that the sheer amount of data from my experience seems to be what is the biggest problem for most. Like right now we've got no data. Now we've gone to this fire hose capability of getting all the data. And then you have to kind of figure out, well, wait a minute, we don't need all the all this data. So figuring out that medium, I think, is the challenge, right?
You know, and if you can, you know, if we look at course content, you know, as an example, I've seen like the Veracity guys, you know, had some really interesting, analysis that shows a heat map of the page. And when somebody comes in, where they're going on the page and where they're hovering and what they're clicking on the page. And you can see that on subsequent pages. So as an instructional designer, you know, if you're putting enough information in there, like what do we want to know that people are looking at and clicking on, you decide to put the triggers on those, elements within the design itself. You know, and then somebody can go in and, you know, take a look at this, not all the time, but, you know, before we redo the 2019 course into the 2020 course, you know, maybe we go figure out what's been effective and what hasn't been. And this is just in addition to all of the item level analysis that you can get out of questions and, you know, and just, you know, pieces of information that you're capturing that you want people to be able to, you know, attest to doing something or not doing something, or, you know, just, I mean, there's just all kinds of cool things that we can stuff into the content or the pages themselves that can be captured. And as long as you got an easy tool to pull that data out and mine it out, it may not look pretty, but it's the data at the end of the day that's important. You know, just what am I analyzing here?
There are kind of two viewpoints in terms of amount of data, and there's the viewpoint of you know, defining, you know, what it is you want to track at the start of the project and only tracking more or less focusing on that so that you're not gathering way more data than you'll ever need slash use and causing ripple effects. But then there's also the kind of Google perspective, which is track everything because you don't yet know what it is you might actually end up needing to look for later.
That's what machine learning tells us, right? You know, everything that you can, and then we'll try to make, you know, the tools themselves, the libraries themselves will help us make heads or tails of it. It's, you know, storage is cheap. You know, the statements are tiny. Collect as much as you can. And, you know, if you're in AWS, just be prepared to, you know, to pay the ticket price at the end of the month, right? Like, whoa, we used a lot. Maybe we should skinny this little area back a bit. So.
Surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael's asked a couple of questions in the question chat. First question he threw in, which is a really good question: what are the challenges of XAPI?
You know, analyzing the data is the biggest. You know, just what do you do with all the stuff that you've collected? But, you know, you've got to have tools that will allow you to start to collect it in the first place. So, you know, having things in the authoring tool, you know, it annoys the heck out of me to see major vendors that support tin can, you know, sorry, you know, we renamed this thing like 4 years ago and, you know, just like catch up the train, that train left the station a long time ago. You know, it sort of talks to their level of commitment in some of these things, and supporting a spec at .9 is not supporting the spec, right? It's like, well, we have a little bit of this stuff, but not a lot of it. You know, just at the end of the day, it always annoyed me that the LMSs didn't do the four horsemen, you know, didn't do a faster job of incorporating the LRS into their world. And that's why these third-party LRS vendors, you know, emerged and, you know, have found a niche, you know, in the space, and many of them, you know, have done very well and added a lot of value in that world. And others have waited for Rust-a-C to actually come out with the tools themselves as part of the SCORM engine. You know, we'll just put the LRS stuff in there, and that way we didn't have to develop it. We'll get somebody else to do it for us. But it didn't take that long to put it in the first place because that spec document, again, was so thin. Chicken and egg problem. So, you know, just getting people educated. We, you know, we tend to collect way more data than people know we're collecting on their behalf, and then say, you know, this is this. Hey, if they ask a question, it's like, as a matter of fact, we've been trapping some of that. You know, let's go take a look at it. The most popular, you know, one of the most popular reports that we have in our world, because all of these UIs are typically customized to the environment. You know, these are. You know, what are people clicking on? We spend so much time designing the interface with four buttons here and two buttons there. And guess what? No one ever uses this thing over here. So let's get rid of that on the next iteration. Or what are they searching on and are they finding it? You know, what questions are they asking the system? And so it's more people just are more out there and doing things on a mobile device. You know, it just becomes, you know, it's incumbent and inherent on us as a, you know, as a provider, you know, to give them the best data that we can and make the most things possible that whatever they try to dream up, we'll try to figure out a way.
Michael was asking, you know, in the chat earlier too, a little bit about sort of, I'm going to sort of rephrase this, but the sense of looking for aligning with business goals, et cetera, outside of the learning experience in a sense. And that's another thing that the XAPI can actually do is we can actually use XAPI to measure people's interactions with things that we don't consider, you know, a learning product. There are options to plug XAPI widgets into, you know, your Salesforce account and stuff like that to track that people are actually, you know, doing something properly after they've, you know, gone through the e-learning right. that teaches them how to do that.
Right. You know, going to those resources and, you know, external resources, you know, as part of the LXP movement, you know, we're curating content. It's coming from multiple sources. It may be internal. It may be external. Those things were never made mindfully to support, you know, the insertion of a statement in that sense. But if they're launched from a platform that knows how to do that, then, you know, the fact that you linked out to that thing, deep linked out to that thing, is something that got tracked. You know, so a statement gets generated without needing a bookmarklet or something like that, which is an extra step for somebody to take. So you try to make this, you make it frictionless, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be able to have more value the more you can make those things frictionless.
Mm-hmm. And your example of what, you know, what are things people that are searching for? What are the answers that they're looking for, the problems that they're having? That's stuff you don't even know as a training department. And yet it's brilliant info to have to understand what people are struggling with. How can we improve how they do what they do? Well, what's the problem? Oh, there's the problem. And we have, X percentage of people are searching for this.
Exactly. And because everything sits in a system to begin with, and, you know, it already has a enterprise architecture, and we know what groups and, you know, what locations and what job roles are, you know, as these things come in, as these statements come in, we can take that data and match it back to those, you know, organizational objects and say, what's getting searched for by sales in Cleveland? You know, if you really wanted to know that, you know, so you can actually dig in a lot deeper than just what's the top, you know, what are the top things, you know, words or terms that people are searching on. You can do it, you know, at some boiled down level that makes sense to what, you know, what insights you're trying to gain from the data. Mm-hmm. XAPI, you know, it thumbs up for all of those reasons.
Yeah, and then, you know, Joe drops in a good question too, talking about, you know, whether a lot of organizations just don't see value in generating the data. And I'm curious, since you're out there and talking to so many clients and focused on the mobile, you know, solutions and whatnot, and XAPI and all that, are you finding it difficult to convince people to that there's value in generating data, or is this just something that we think is out there?
You know, it's one way we did this early is we came up with something on the platform level called XAPI Genesis Project. So because we have everything in a SQL database, you could go, you know, if you can't analyze anything or know what its value is if you don't have anything in there. And if your authoring tools at the time didn't really give you anything, then you weren't really collecting anything. So, but what if we could take all of the things that you accomplished in the SQL database and generate a statement out of it for the last 5 years? You know, then we have all this trend data from yesterday that we can match to the stuff that goes forward. So once people see the data collected on their behalf, or data that's historical in nature that was brought in, then it, you know, provides a context to the whole thing. You can't get people, especially larger enterprise organizations, to just wholesale go and get a new tool, right? You know, well, you should use this tool over that one because this one has these capabilities. We just have to deal with the fact that someone has this or doesn't have it. And if they are going to use something, you know, we can influence them and say, this is the way that you would best apply that. So you know, we're an influencer, but, you know, we can't force anybody into that. But by doing things in the interface and by, you know, tracking the informal and the formal, you know, and tie game mechanics to it, or, you know, grab the fact that they're reading things, just something as simple as, was it assigned to them, or was it something that they, you know, it, you must, you should, you could, you know, you might, you know, just, you can sort of look at all of those things based upon the content source, make statements out of that, and then have an analysis of how are people learning, you know, in the 70-20-10 world, you know, this sort of gives you the data to show you where they're getting the most value out of the platform. So, you know, and just, you know, it's the lingua franca that enables that to happen.
Mm-hmm. Alicia was echoing some of what you were saying there in her question, or her statement in the chat panel. Oh my goodness, the words are gone. Anyway, how do you get stakeholders to buy in the infrastructure needed? And I think maybe it's not so much about thinking about buying into an infrastructure. It's about what problems are people trying to solve, and how can we make something better? And from there, what's the best way to start using XAPI to start tracking things that can help us improve things, as opposed to maybe saying we need this infrastructure. No, here's a problem we want to solve. Here are solutions that can back into it that way.
The good news is you don't have to spend a lot of money to get it done. There are, the LRS providers themselves have, freemium, premium versions of things that, you can stand up something and start collecting statements on a pilot basis or a skunkworks basis fairly easily and inexpensively to almost free. Your time spent over a weekend kind of thing could get you into all of this. And then from there, you begin to develop a business case. Just how do I do more with this stuff? But maybe one of the ways to sort of grease the skids on that is as more and more organizations are getting, adopting things with mobile, to bring it back to sort of the topic here, right? Start doing tracking the mobile stuff, right? Track the things that they're doing on those devices, it gives you the ability to reach out and touch people more often, because we only sit down in front of our computer to do things so often, but we have our device with us all the time, and with push notifications and things like that, we activate the learning for somebody, quickly, easily, with one tap, and I'm into something, and then that's something that, I'll want to, glean some value out of and measure at some point. So, focus on a use case and maybe a technology set to help you, bring in that skunkworks phase one kind of implementation.
For sure. Michael was also asking,
anything you could share with us? I'm sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to step on you there.
No worries. My foot.
What is skunkworks? Skunkworks means no one sanctioned you to do this. You went and did it. That's the ask for forgiveness, not permission thing. So
right. Yeah.
Somebody was asking earlier if there are any links to examples of XAPI. I think we might have had an XAPI newbie in the group. So I know xapi.org, is that what the website is for the standard? I think there's a lot of
stuff there, right? Pop something in there. Obviously one of the, Megan Torrance from Torrance Learning runs an XAPI cohort. I think their party is this Friday, like 2 days from now, and you can attend that online, and you'll get to see all of the people that were part of this cohort for probably it's like 12 weeks or something like that, where they all sort of come up with concepts and ideas and projects, and they implement them in some way, and then they sort of showcase all of these examples. So and if you're interested in this world, a couple of great books that have been introduced. Virtually all of the conferences have some sort of breakout, pre-conference one-day workshop. The XAPI camp or whatever is something that is worthy of attending, and then there will be sessions related to it. But Megan Torrance's XAPI cohort thing is awesome. That's highly recommended.
Yeah, and you can do that as a full-on participant, or even just a lurker, get a sense of it, etc. All kinds of roles in that are welcome, and even just that lurking aspect will give you insight into all kinds of different things that people are trying to do as different projects as part of that as well.
Yeah, the Slack group is great, and they also save the recordings from the weekly sessions that they do together over that time period. And she has people presenting on the basics of XAPI, and then as they start to build everything and they start doing their little projects, they present towards the end, and I think they're going to have a big presentation at the party and whatnot. Slack, the communication software. Sorry, Michael. Right.
I heard of a great example that somebody did that, put a big smile on my face. Is they embedded someone embedded a little JavaScript in an email text that they sent out to every employee after like a week after they all had to take some compliance course related to phishing schemes.
Yeah.
And so they send out this email about something else. And then if you went into the email and you clicked that link, it sent back a report that you failed your training essentially because you fell for this scam. They used XAPI to do that. Just, you know, man, that's clever. That's simple. That's easy. You know, it actually provided results, actionable results. You know, we got to go back and kick the chair on these 3 or 17 people or whatever it was.
Yeah. I'll pass on to our genius dev team for coming up with that example. your appreciation for that one. Yeah, that was one of the examples that we had prepped for for one of the DevLearn or learning solutions, maybe even both. But the XAPI camps, the pre-conference workshop days for that, which are, if you're able to do that, are a great way to actually see some lots of things hands-on, or at least you know, right there in front of you, and get glimpses into how a lot of these pieces all come together. Very cool.
Yeah, we tend to try to boil the ocean with all this stuff. We overthink it because we're technologists. You know, it's people doing things at a practical level that often succeed fastest and easiest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to find that business need first, right?
Yeah.
Figure out how to solve a simple, you know, maybe a complex problem with a very simple solution, you know, sometimes can get the job done.
And pitching towards the future, you know, with mobile, you know, things like AR and VR and your ability to move around in those kinds of immersive and more engaging type of learning environments, all of that can feed, you know, all of that can be XAPI enabled. I mean, so there's all sorts of interactive video, you know, how far someone's getting into something, but not just, you know, the player strip itself and, you know, how far you get through and where you bookmark something, but, you know, in interactive video, moving from, you know, from module to module, from clip to clip, that type of thing is, you know, we get into these XR type of scenarios. XAPI is going to play a big part in all of that. And just having those capabilities already baked into the app, if you will, you know, makes that easy for someone to take advantage of, because, you know, I don't have to worry about where the endpoint is or whatever. I'm just actor, verb, you know, action, extension aware, just because it's inherently in the app already.
Mm-hmm. And XAPI, beyond just those, you know, the actor, verb, and an object, there's also lots of context that can also be added into statements too, to give you even, you know, a bigger picture of you know, the specifics around the particular, say, choices that people are making and what they're actually doing too. Yeah,
right. It's, you know, it's like filmmaking, you know the rules, but then, you know, once you know them, you know how to break them by, you know, putting your own actions and extensions, you know, against those objects, right?
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That probably brings us to a good spot to call it a wrap here for today.
I'd say so, but you know what? I have to give you kudos on your
head. I didn't get to my other coffees that I brought as well.
Oh, jeepers.
You know, man. I brought a variety. Since I had a variety of phones, I brought a variety of coffees as well.
Excellent.
Are those headphones that you have on, those custom ones that you can build your own online and then they craft them for you?
Wouldn't that be cool? No, actually, these are from, I got at DevLearn. I went to, you know, a little plug here. One of the coolest things I saw at DevLearn on the trade show floor was this application called Padcaster, or a company called Padcaster. And they have this, this rig that you attach to an iPad so you can, and chroma key, and it's got mics and lights and everything. So, you know, anybody could make some professional looking video with just their, you know, with their iPad. And these are the headphones that came with it. So I pulled them out of the bag today. Like, you
know. No, they look just like the ones. And it's not, wouldn't that be nice? There actually is a website I found the other day. That's why I thought of it.
Yeah,
those
cool ears
look like it, where you can choose what type of phone you want, what time of cable you want, what time, and then build it for you. And it's
I'm a mobile guy, so, you know, of course,
anyway,
in my pocket.
It's probably time for us to say goodbye.
Very cool, Robert. Thanks so much for joining us this week. Drop your contact details. The best way for people to connect with you if they've got anything they want to ask us, questions and follow up and stuff, drop that into the chat.
All right.
Thanks everybody who joined us today. Lots of good comments as well. Always good comments. We have such cool people who who get to hang out, who come to hang out with us. It's always very, we're always very honored by that and very humbled by that as well. At least I always find it like, wow, cool people coming out here, hanging out with us and dropping their knowledge too. So
I want to hear what's going on. Well, it's fun to see newbies jumping in.
Yeah, for sure.
Really want to learn. So Michael, I appreciate you jumping in and asking all those great questions, and everybody for asking good questions and being engaged in the process of Idiotic. We love doing this. And don't forget, next week is our last one of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So bring your coffee.
Then we're going to kick back for the holidays.
Yeah. That's right. I'll put my tree up on Christmas Eve. Thanks, guys.
See you, everybody. See you next time. Let's dance.
Can I put Yoda back up?
Sure.
Wait, I forgot to zoom.